The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
With some regularity here at St. Louis de Montfort is that a Catholic should live liturgically. The idea is that we as human beings have a need or an impulse to kind of get our bearings chronologically at all times. We need to know kind of where we are and what's up ahead, so we have these kind of signposts as we move through time. Even on the natural level, especially here in the Midwest, we have that rhythm of the seasons, the changing of the seasons that tell us where we are. There's other family events that help us. But overall, a Catholic should live the liturgical flow of life. It should infuse how we live and how we see where we are. I asked last night some of the servers kind of the idea of what feast we're celebrating this weekend, and what are we celebrating? And I was impressed that one of the servers didn't really know, but he did say, "I know I'm celebrating my baptismal anniversary today." I thought, now there's a kid that can live liturgically. Beautiful. He was actually celebrating it. So the idea is that whatever saint feast day it is, or what mystery of Christ the church is celebrating, that we would let that infuse or affect how I pray in the morning, how I pray at mealtimes, our conversation at dinner, and maybe even if it's a big feast day, what desserts we have, that sort of thing. So that way we can be immersed in the mysteries, but also be conformed to them. So that's the idea. So if you've kind of forgotten that we're still in the Easter season, means we need to live more liturgically. It should be actually a part of our consciousness as we move through the Easter season. And if you didn't know before you stepped into church today, that today we're celebrating the solemnity of the Ascension, means I need to live liturgically more profoundly. Some of us might think, well, wasn't the pinnacle like Easter and like the Ascension is kind of an anticlimax? And in all honesty, each of these major feasts have their purpose and they give us clarity about some things that are important. And what we celebrate today is, of course, 40 days after the resurrection, after appearing to his disciples on a number of occasions and encouraging them, he ascends body and soul into heaven. And my argument today is that there are three things that we get great clarity on today on the feast day, but also they almost elevate these realities beyond our expectations. So the first reality that the Ascension clarifies for us is the reality of Jesus. So even in his time, his earthly ministry, the temptation was to reduce him either to a moral example or a preeminent teacher or rabbi, or maybe a prophet who speaks the words of God on God's behalf, or maybe even worse, a showman, a miracle worker, kind of a flash in the pan. Ultimately, Christ reveals in his public ministry that he is the Son of God. He is divine, lowering himself, descending to a human nature. Ultimately, he reveals his divinity in fullness at the resurrection, whereby he conquers sin and death itself, Satan and his minions. By resurrecting from the dead, it is not a mere resuscitation where he's returning to life as usual. He receives a glorified existence, and that glorified body is what is assumed into heaven, ascended at the right hand of the Father. What we believe is that he ascends to the right hand of the Father in heaven, which means it's a place of victory for all eternity, a place of authority, of judgment of heaven and earth, but also a place of intercession, that in his glorified wounds, he would turn to the Father and show him he has paid the price for us. So he has assumed all power and kingship at the right hand of the Father. That's who Jesus is. And this feast day prevents us from reducing him to anything less. The second thing we give great clarity on today is ourselves. Maybe it's because so often we're in survival mode. We're just trying to get through day to day. And maybe when we're looking around ourselves, we see that everybody's kind of struggling. Everybody's getting through life, trying to get a little sliver of joy or peace every once in a while. We kind of lower our expectations of what God has in store for us. And the ascension reestablishes what we can rightly hope for. What's my point? We believe by baptism, we are grafted into Christ. We are made members of the mystical body of Christ in a real way. So what we say is that everything that the head has belongs to the body. And where the head goes, the body will follow. So what we just said about Christ, his power, his kingship, his authority, is now ours. Reread the second reading from the letter to the Ephesians. He's saying all of that is ours by right and inheritance. We have incredible dignity and authority that awaits us in heaven, which is our true homeland, but we experience it here and now by grace. This is our dignity and our destiny. So if the ascension gives us clarity of who Jesus is and elevates it, and gives us clarity of who we are and elevates it, we also get clarity finally on what the church is. You notice that at the ascension, he doesn't just get ascended into heaven. He first gives us some parting words. In the Gospel of Luke, which we received today, he says it in the phrase of that we are to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations. The Gospel of Matthew puts it a different way. Jesus commands his apostles, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We gain clarity of why he formed the church and what it is for. And some of us have been Catholic our entire life. We've experienced parish life here at St. Louis de Montfort and elsewhere. And we all have our ideas of kind of what the church is and our experience of it. And I hope you see the church as your spiritual family, as your spiritual home, where you're encouraged and nourished. Maybe some of us reduce our experience of church to being kind of like a club of friends, of like-minded individuals where we get together and see each other. Maybe we just come to church because we have to, we're supposed to. Maybe we come to church just to maybe get one word of wisdom from the readings or maybe even the homily, hopefully. We get clarity today from the words of Jesus at the ascension that the church is all those things, but most especially the church is the mission of Christ continued through space and time. What he did in his public ministry, in his death and resurrection, he wants us to accomplish here, which means disciples of all nations. We come here to this Holy Mass to be encouraged in the mission that he's entrusted to us. I have this privileged vantage point as the pastor and priest here to see God's grace in action, the incredible things he does here, the transformations, the healings, the conversions. It's incredible. And I'm convinced he wants to do more. But the good news is we don't have to do it just by like our own efforts. He promised at the ascension, he told the apostles, wait here in the city, I will give you the promised Spirit. I will give you the advocate. I will give you my divine Spirit to enliven you and to make your work fruitful. So that tells us, insofar as we're more receptive to this grace of the Holy Spirit, our church will live its mission more fruitfully here. And I know even just at the Easter Vigil, we welcomed about 15 people into the church, and those 15 people are on fire right now. And I am convinced that the parish like this, we should be having 50, 60, 70, 80 people in a class every year if the Holy Spirit takes root in us and makes this stuff happen. I'm convinced that we should have young men and women entering seminary or the convent every year because of what the Lord and the Holy Spirit is doing here. So everybody wants homilies to be practical. So here's your practical way to live liturgically this week. Every day, starting today, as a family or as a couple or as with friends, pray in a profound way for a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you, upon your family, and upon this parish. This is a bit of imitation of the apostles. What did they do from the ascension to Pentecost? They were waiting and being open to the gift of the Spirit. That's our posture this week. So pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The ascension is not Jesus separating himself off to the heavens. The ascension reminds us he is closing the gap, and heaven is closer than ever before by the gift of the Spirit. And maybe heaven is no closer to us than here at the sacrifice of the Mass. And it's here we begin to pray for that gift of the Spirit.